Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Well, good. Great.
He said, well. That's cool. Gentlemen, for this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, I'd like to really look at a scripture passage. It might help us grasp a better comprehension of the God of the Bible. Therefore, we have to go back.
Way back.
So we're gonna look at a passage that comes out of the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 7 through 15. Could someone read that for me, please?
Yes. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Initial responses.
All right, well, we did a Bible study here one time with a pastor comes in and he says there really wasn't no correct translation for the word forever. So forever meant something that is just beyond the horizon that you cannot see, but you know it's there. So when he says, I am who I am, this is after Moses questions him. Like, he doesn't just do it. He questions it. It's a lack of faith in my eyes. Like, all right, I'm there with you, but why? And what if? And he says, I am who I am. So he'll always be that. So you can question me all you want. They can question all you want. It's going to happen, period. Because I am who I am for all generations.
Okay.
I would say come out of slavery to a better land of milk and honey, a liberation. But then the sign of that liberation is worship. So it makes me think sometimes about my own life of liberation. And then the response or the sign is worship.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And then I'll piggyback off that. And then yeah, worship is work. Because then all they go through and stuff, it's not. It's like, oh, we're free now. We got to just praise him. That's part of it. But there's work. Hard work.
Yeah, I didn't free you for nothing. I freed you to worship. Yeah, like,
well, sometimes that work is partnering with other people and liberating other people.
Yeah, yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
Well, look at how slavery has been in the past few hundred years in modern times. Is yes, slavery, oppression, and slavery had happened, and Abraham Lincoln came to free the slaves again, right? So here he comes, he gets killed for it, right? And then there's still an upward battle, and we're still dealing with oppression. So slavery hasn't completely ended, it's still a process. It's the same thing, we're seeing it in a different format.
But here's the current thing of that, brother, was back in there, modern day, the comfort is, I am who I am. He is, he was, he always will be, and he's always going to be there through your slavery, through your bondage, through whatever you go through. I don't care what's a thousand years from now.
Well, it's like you said.
That's the whole point.
Even after slavery's been abolished in the United States, they're still working
to fight
against it, even though it's not even there, yeah. In a sense.
Or even third world people who work for slave wages, or in fact, modern slavery still exists. You know, so forms of slavery. So there's still liberation to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I like the at the end where it says remember from generation to generation, because at that time, you know, since they were oppressed and the Pharaoh's rule in Egypt, he was keeping his promise from, he made to Abraham about leading them out, you know, the descendants. So I got looking at it like, he let them out, gave them, kept his promise, but at the same time, because the descendants are spreading, his faith is going all the greater. It's going across the lands.
It's growing, yeah.
Yeah. And then, since we told him that I am who I am, now they know who he is, and generation to generation. Right now, we all know who God is. We're learning from him and studying and listening to his teachings.
So, we've thrown out some insights, but let's be a little more specific. So what do you learn about this God?
The I am who I am?
Yeah.
He's everything, you know, like Zach was telling me earlier, the trees, he's everywhere, I mean, his hand touched everything.
It speaks to me, that's what the likes I'm supposed to be. People always ask me, like, what's your race, what's this, they want to listen to that. One day, this is going to be a meal for man. What's that matter? I just am, I just be, it just is. I know there's identity factors and marks and people judge or put you in this box category, but you cannot define this God. He just is, he's everywhere, he's everything. And that's what we're supposed to be, like him, in a likeness. That's what we have to be.
He sees suffering, yeah, and responds to it.
Okay, yeah, there's a couple things going on there. If we were to back up and read the very first, read the very first sentence in chapter 3.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert.
Okay, all right, what's he doing?
He's a shepherd. He's leading his...
So he's doing what he does every day.
It's like...
But somehow in the normalcy of life, God shows up.
To lead a different flock.
Very interesting.
All right? In the normalcy of life, God shows up. And then God does say things which are, I see my people. I hear their cry. I am going to respond. I don't know.
They respond through us.
And then they will worship me.
Yeah. And so I don't want us to overlook this normalcy of life. God seems to interrupt. Only if you're paying attention. Moses could have walked right past that burning bush. Right. And so maybe the challenge today is, what burning bush are you going to see today? Because if this God sees, and this God hears, and this God responds, that doesn't mean he's deaf to us. And as far as the name, Eha, Eshur, Eha, is kind of the I am, Eha. That's where we get Yahweh, to be. It just means I is, just is.
Instead of who. In my Bible down here it says... You know, it makes reference to, instead of I am who I am, or I will be what I will be.
When you put it all together and you start translating that in Hebrew, it really means I cause to be. Now, it's interesting from a Hebrew perspective in this Old Testament, pericope, that this is kind of the first time. Now, Yahweh, Elohim, there's been other names prior to this, right, on which we've said, but this is the first time in the Bible where we have God telling us God's name, all right? And the reference that comes out of like the Yahweh name is
Genesis.
I cause to be, which gives a reference, I'm the creator of all that is. All right. And this creator, for some odd reason, hears people crying. This creator sees the oppression, and it moves him. Let us not think, gentlemen, that God doesn't see, right, your whatever oppression you're going through. And in here, it may be addiction, or it could be the oppression of economics somehow. You can't find work or whatever.
Isolation.
There's all kinds of them. Where's the burning bush? Are you looking for the burning bush in the midst of that? Right. Maybe your heart is just broken and you're just flooded with tears. Do not think God doesn't see that. And you're crying. God doesn't hear that. That you're screaming for help. And part of the reason Neighbors of Hope is here, right, is to be the God response to the cries. Other thoughts?
I like that, with especially how you tie Neighbors of Hope. And, for example, the Life Change Program around those who just want to get over their addiction, but for some reason feel like they can't and ask for that sign, this is the program that could. Than those who need.
We'll talk about it. When it comes to addiction, we're all seeking liberation from our addictions. Now, let's be honest, including our listening audience, we all have addictions. I mean, you've heard me saying here, Jesus came to save the addict, right? Because we're all addicts. Right? It may not be drugs and alcohol, but we have something that we're addicted to, and that makes us idolaters because we place that before God. And Jesus came to save us from that. Now, yeah, in John's gospel, Jesus refers to himself as the I am. Right? That liberates us from our, what we would say, addiction or our sin. Right? So God, this guy that gets introduced here in chapter 3 isn't by name. He gets introduced by name, I should say. Right? Not as person, but by name. Hasn't changed. If it didn't change throughout the whole Bible, gentlemen, please don't think that he's changed now. Right? So this is a God who seeks your liberation. Right? To participate on. And sometimes deliverance may come miraculously and instantaneously on various things. Right? I found my keys. Couldn't find my keys. Yeah. And yet it can be a disease or an illness. Right? All those types of things. Other times, like what we're going to see here, if you read the rest of the story, you know, the next, 12 chapters, the liberation of the Hebrews from Pharaoh is a process. Sometimes liberation is a process. All right? Deliverance is a process.
Worship is a sign.
Worship, yeah, is a response. Yeah.
I would say that.
And the big thing here, the other thing that we would see later in those chapters, I mean, why does God do this? Like in chapter 7, it will say things, so that you will know I am God.
Because you were the least, there was nothing special about you.
It's almost, that's why, some poets have referred to God as the hound of heaven. That God's always going to hound you. Right? It's almost as if God is in competition with God's self. Alright? I want you to know me. So I'm going to free you. And I'm going to bust my fanny 24/7, 365, forever. To prove that you can know me. I mean, I'm a God of liberation. I want to liberate you. Why? Well, two reasons. One, so that you can have the life that I intended you to have. So that we can be in a relationship. And the minute that comes the revelation that I am who I say that I am. And that you are of that which is I am that I am. This is the God of the Bible. Okay. Any other thoughts?
I was thinking. So it's the introduction of hope here. And the Israelites, even themselves, Moses says, well, they're going to say to me, well, what's your name? Here's this hope. But what is this hope? What am I supposed to tell them? And his response is, I be.
Moses says, oh, you know, I've heard of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, so they want to know him.
You're really asking me to do quite a bit, but that's all right. Don't worry about it, Moses. I'll be right there with you. Okay, but when I get back down there and I go to the Pharaoh, they're going to ask me, you know, who do I think I am? Who sent me? You know, what name should I give them? And then God, for the first time, gives us God's name. He introduces himself personally.
And it's the hope of liberation, salvation. Who's greater than Pharaoh?
Yes. Very good. Yeah, I agree. Hope is... You were talking about how you went to see the...
Farmington Hills Holocaust Memorial Museum.
The Holocaust Memorial. So in moments like that in human history, right, if you speak to some of those survivors, and you can hear about it, and people get stranded in mountains or whatever, it's just... What kept you alive? What kept you going? Hope. That's it. The minute we give up hope, it's pretty much over. Well, hi, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and, of course, our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.